To Luke chapter 15, I believe I'm exactly where the Lord wants me to be today. I've already heard several things throughout the day to confirm that. Now listen, this is a story most of us have heard, and the first few points of this message is going to be a little bit tough, but it picks up, amen? It picks up. Luke chapter 15, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word if you're able. We'll start reading in verse 11. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I still hear pages. If you're in the Old Testament, you're in the wrong place.
Come on.
Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. How many of you ever been there? How many ever felt like that? But, y'all see that? But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. God, we love you. We thank you for another day, for your blessings, for the choir, the band. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, you help me, Lord, just to deliver what you've given us today. God, get me out of the way. Lord, it ain't about me. I realize that. And God, you speak to every heart in this building. Speak to hearts right now, God. And Holy Ghost, you do what you need to do, and everything will fall into place. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. In our minds, we think that this prodigal son went just about as far as he could go. We think, man, it just couldn't get no worse, Wes. But guess what? It could. Or it could have got a lot worse. He could have fell in on that hog pen. He could have started eating with those hogs. And he could have crossed the line that he could never come back from. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there's somebody here today that's already been to the hog pen. There's somebody here today that might be on your way to the hog pen. And there's somebody here today that can testify how you got to the hog pen and you keep your right mind.
Amen.
And you think about what I'm saying. You either headed that way. I'm just going, let's just get honest, okay? I mean, we got folks in the building right now. The devil's jumped on you this week. He has talked to you this week. He has beat you up one side and down the other. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If we ain't, you can be sitting in church and headed toward the hog pen. I want to preach a little while on this thought, what the hog pen represents. What the hog pen represents. The hog pen represented an end to self. You go back and look through verse 14 to verse 16. The Bible says, Wes, that when he left home, he left with a great abundance of goods. And he had all this money, and he had all these friends, and he had all this stuff that was on his side. But guess what? After a little while, it all ran out. The money ran out. And when the money ran out, the friends ran out. And when the friends ran out, he was out of options. He was in a foreign land that nobody knew him. Oh, when you got money, everybody knows you. But when you ain't got no money and you ain't got no prestige, don't nobody want to be around you then.
Amen.
And he come to an end of self. He ran out. Self-reliance broke down. See, it's all right. You know, David hit this thing in Sunday school several times this morning about how God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. His mercy and grace. Thank God for his mercy and grace. But you understand something. It ain't going, if you're not where you need to be, you are headed toward the hog pen. And see, it's all easy when you rely on self. But the hog pen represents that place. And I can go around this building this morning and point to people and say, you remember when you ran out of self? Do you remember when you ran out of self-reliance? Do you remember when you realized it ain't about you? Amen? I found this little story, said from an unknown source. There's an article that was titled, How to Be Miserable. It says this, think about yourself, talk about yourself, use I as often as possible, mirror yourself continually in the opinions of others, listen greedily to what people have to say about you, expect to be appreciated, be suspicious, be jealous, be envious, be sensitive to slights, never forgive a criticism, trust nobody but yourself, insist on consideration and respect, demand agreement with your own views on everything, sulk if people are not gratified or grateful to you for favors shown them, never forget the service that you've rendered, shirk your duties if you can, do as little as possible for others, and that's when you are relying on self. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not to every man his own things, but every man on the things of others. See, the hog pen represented an end of self. He realized, hey, I can't do nothing else. I don't have no more money. I can't get myself out of this. See, the problem with most of us is we've always had that little unction that, hey, I can get myself out of this. I got this. Let me go ahead and tell you something. If you're a Christian, there's going to be a hog pen in your life. Amen. Well, you're going to realize that ain't about self. The hog pen represents the consequences of rebellion. Look at verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Rebellion. What he left in pride and ended up in poverty. Amen. He thought just because daddy's got it, I can handle it. But what he didn't understand is that when daddy's got it, when our father is in control of it, our father will let you have all you can handle. But my God ain't going to give you no more than you can handle. And when his daddy unloaded all this on him, he wasted it. I thank God that God is a whole lot smarter than me. It didn't take me long to realize, hey, I ain't nothing. I remember somebody said something one time about paying your tithe. He said, I realized a long time ago, God can do a lot more with 90% than I can with 100%, amen? And I got to realize, it ain't about me, and it's not about my pride. And when I let pride get in there, I go into rebellion. And see, the hog pen represented a consequences of rebellion. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Pride is rebellion against God. I got this. I don't need to go down to that altar. I don't need what that preacher's preaching about. Oh, you will one day. You will one day. Because, see, the hog pen represents the consequences of rebellion. Rebellion felt like freedom right on up to the time that it was destruction. There's a verse in Psalms that blows my mind. And it's talking about what I'm talking about right now. When he chose his will over the Father's will. And listen to what Psalms 106, verse 15 says. Some of you might want to mark this in your Bible. Are you ready? He gave them their request, but sent leanness to their souls. In other words, God will let you have exactly what you want. Do you hear what I said? He wanted what was his. He wanted what the Father had. That was his, and his father gave it to him, and he wasted through everything, and now the consequences of rebellion, he is right there. When you choose your will over God's will, when you say it's not, I don't need to go down to that altar. I've made it so far without God. Let me go ahead and tell you, you might be made it so far without God, but we got a long way to go. Amen. The consequences of rebellion. It showed the end of self. And the hog pen also represents spiritual hunger. Verse 16 again. He was surrounded by food, but it was the wrong kind. Amen. You hear what I said? Let me ask you a question. What you been eating on? And I'm talking about spiritually now. See, some of us been eating on some stuff you ain't got no business eating on. Some of us been watching some stuff on TV you ain't got no business watching. Some of us been looking at things we ain't got no business looking at. The hog pen represents spiritual hunger. Oh, he was surrounded by food. He could eat, Brother Robert. And if you go and study this out, this husk, it come from a tree. And what they would do, they would take the little beans that would fall off this tree. And it was for the most poor people in the land. And they also served it to the livestock. In other words, you listen to me. In other words, Brother Tony, he was not used to eating this kind of food. He came from the Father's house. He came from a place where he had good food, nourishing food. And I'm telling you right now, folks, when we eat on what the Bible tells us to eat on, hey, we are a whole lot better spiritually. Amen. But when we eat on the things of the world, like some of us have been eating on the things of the world, what, we find ourselves weak, we find ourselves spiritually malnutrition, and that's when we get in trouble. Amen. Alcohol, drugs, lust, sin. What have you been eating on? You had sin, got rebellion, spiritual hunger. Now listen, the hog pen also represents isolation. He was by himself. By himself. See, sin separates us from God. But listen to me, sin can also separate you from your family. Sin can also separate you from your friends. I'm not going to call any names, but I remember talking to a guy, Brother Mike. You know him. Most everybody in his church knows him. He used to come to church. He used to be faithful. He said he got so bad that his friends didn't even want to be. Got out on drugs and started selling drugs. And he said his own family didn't want. His mother told him, said, you're going to die drunk and you're going to die drug addict. Oh, preacher, I won't never go that far. He didn't think he would either, Alan. We got people in this building right now. You never thought that you would go as far as you did in sin. You never thought that you would go get as far down as you did in sin. But guess what? It's amazing what the devil can do in just a little amount of time. Isolation. He found himself separated from God. But he chose to, when the hog pen will strip away all your friends, the hog pen will strip away everything that you've known, the hog pen will strip away everything that you lived for, the hog pen will do that. Now let me turn this thing around a little bit. Verse 17, and when he came to himself. Amen. The hog pen also represents a turning point. Praise God. As I was studying this, you know, sometimes he came to himself and he realized where he really belonged. This ain't where I belong. Thank God. I'm just going to be honest with you. There was a point in my life when me and my wife moved to Orangeburg that I got out of church, Brother Robert. I started doing things I had no business doing. And thank God that the preacher came by and I realized, hey, I was at the hog pen. I was there. I was getting real close. And he made me open my eyes. And I realized this is not where I belong. This ain't me. This ain't the way I was raised. This ain't how my mom and daddy taught me. This ain't how the Word of God taught me. This ain't what the preacher taught me. And I had to make my mind up. This is a turning point in my life. Thank God. As I was studying this, I got to thinking about, most of y'all heard of Isaac Newton, the great physicist. You know, we all know Newton's laws of motion. You know, the first law, and I'm not going to get it all, but the first law of motion is this. An object in motion stays in motion unless acted upon by an unbalanced force. He had made it to the hog pen, and he was acted upon by the hog pen. He made it that far down, and he came to himself, and he realized, I need to make a change. The hog pen was a force in his life. Let me go ahead and tell you something, folks. If you've been raised right, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get older, they will not depart from it. If you've been raised right, I'm telling you right now, you might be living in sin, because most of us have been there, amen. You might be doing things you ain't got no business doing. Most of us have been there, but you know deep in your heart, and you know deep in the recesses of your mind, that you are not where you need to be. And there needs to be a turning point. There needs to be a change, amen. The hog pen represented a turning point. Now listen, the hog pen also represents God's grace in bad times. I don't want nobody to raise their hands. How far down did you get? How far down that road did you get? I'll never forget. We was in the old church up there, and there was a young man that come in, and he testified. He testified by how he had lost everything. He had a good business. He lost everything in drugs. He lost his family in drugs. He lost his business in drugs. He was flat broke. He had a brand new wife, a brand new baby boy. He lost his wife. He lost his children. And he said something to this effect, Jeff. He said, God took me all the way down to get my attention. And I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I tell you, Tony, my hog pen experience was not that far down the road. Oh, we don't realize we pass hog pens all the time. Do you think this was the first hog pen he had passed? Oh, no. He passed hog pen after hog pen to get to where he was at. Amen. And folks, I'm just telling you, God's grace is why you're here today, Jackie. God's grace. Adrian, God's grace is why you're here today. Every one of you, think about it. And see, I don't know if there's anybody in this building that when you got saved, you stayed in church and you did everything exactly right and you've never done anything wrong and you've never missed church. You've always done what you're supposed to do. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I ain't one of them. I wish I could tell you that I was one of them. I wish I could tell you that when I got saved, everything was rosy. Everything was mountaintop. But it wasn't. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, it's God's grace and God's mercy that's got me right here. And the hog pen proves that God loves you. The hog pen proves that God's grace and God's mercy can bring you some way, way down. That's what God's grace. That's what the hog pen represents. If there hadn't been a hog pen, where do you think he'd have wound up, Josh? Think about that. If there hadn't been a hog pen in your life, if there hadn't been a turning point in your life, where would you wind up? The hog pen represents God's grace in bad times. Now listen. When I was studying this, and this thought came to my mind, the hog pen represented that wasn't the end of the story. Oh, my God. The hog pen represented that wasn't the end of the story. Think about that for a minute. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And it, this what the, and he, the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy to sit in your house. Just put me out there with the slaves. Just put me out there with the servants. I just want a little piece of bread. I just want just barely enough. I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat the hog feet. I just want barely enough. And he said, no, we ain't doing that. You go get the best robe, glory to God. You go get the best ring. You put shoes on his feet, glory to God. Hey, you gonna dine at the table with me. Go get the fatted calf. We gonna kill the fatted calf. You are my son. I love you. Even when you were at the hog pen, you were still my son. Aren't you glad? Now listen. Aren't you glad, Taylor, that at your lowest point, that wasn't the end of the story? Wow. What can God do in our lives? Look what God did in his life. As I was studying this, I got to think about it, Alan. 16 more verses after the hog pen was his story. That's a lot of verses after the hog pen. If you get to thinking about it, you go back and study the life of Joseph. Joseph was, if I'm not mistaken, I studied it one time. I think it was about 13 years, Brother Robert, that Joseph had hard times, that Joseph was in prison in Potiphar's house about 13 years, and then look what God did for him. I'm glad Potiphar's house and prison wasn't the end of the story for Joseph, amen. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know how low you are this morning. I don't know how far down you've gone this morning. But I'm telling you right now, that ain't the end of the story. If you'll just get on your knees and you'll call out to God and you'll ask him to forgive you. Hey, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you'll call out on him, that don't have to be the end of your story. I want the band to come back up. Wes, I want you to sing that song again. God did not call your name for you to be living where you're at. Listen to me. God did not save you for you to be living where you're at. See, the problem with most Christians is this. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. The problem with most Christians is God's got a plateau up here that he wants for us, and most of us are living down here. Not even close to where God wants you to be. I want you to bow your heads with me. How many this morning, let's get honest. How many this morning as Christians will say, preacher, I believe I'm living below where God wants me to live. I know I'm saved. I'm not worried about hell, but I believe I'm living below where God wants me to live. Just raise your hand.